have to look up that other word, though. Do you have the time?
I've got about maybe 5 minutes, and I've got to get home. You've got what?
Okay. Hi. David's valiant man. David's mighty man.
Right.
Slaying the Philistines with a wow. Persevering to the end. 4 more weeks.
Well, I'll tell you.
You would not believe how the angels sing in heaven when you complete Hebrew class.
What's that?
I'm already thinking about a long-term trip.
Really?
So I think what we should do is
banner about
finding out.
Seem like, you know, beyond your fondest imagination. But I got enough now. They stand in amazement
at the perseverance. Yeah, right.
But Hebrew is the language of the body. I don't believe it's the eternal language.
Pure language.
I'll be definitely talking to him about it, but I don't think it'll be. Everybody's running to and fro so much now that really gets explained it. Difficult. Good.
You must be getting in it early. Sometimes they only have 2 weeks for orientation for Hebrew. That's a real challenge. Keith Carlson,
talking to him yesterday. He's down for a week or so with Victoria. So there's a fellow up there that's teaching a crash course in Hebrew to make you a Hebrew expert in only 20 hours. So, we all missed it, you know. I don't know. what it really involves, I guess, is just basically like our orientation class, just getting you able to learn the alphabet and be able to look up things in the lexicons, you know. But I guess he says that people that take the course think they're really the cat's pajamas on Hebrew, you know, and like they really know it now. And I thought, oh boy, we're going to have some dangerous things going on. Because it's just enough to.
It'd be one thing if you see in our orientation class, we teach some things, but we let them know what they can do, you know, I mean, what this is good for.
And but if a person got the impression that now he's got all the tools he needs to know everything there is to know about Hebrew, he can really be dangerous.
Most people can't even handle English, much less try and jump
into Latin. Yeah. This fellow's also into Holy Land tours and, you know, lots of Christians need to pray for Israel and support Israel and that type of thing. Well, we'll finish up chapter 12 here if we can, and this time I think we can, and then we'll take some requests for Psalms and Proverbs. So either in Psalms and Proverbs, we'll look at some things there. Then we'll start getting into some of the historic. Most of the historical narrative. We're kind of covering historical narrative here, so we can go back and do some of that. But I kind of like to get into some of the prophets things too. So we want to try to get a sampling of every. Yeah, right. We ought to do some of Daniel too.
Yeah.
We might even take a look at some of the Aramaic portions. You're going to be kind of at a loss there, but we'll take a look at it in the interlinear. Huh?
It seems to me that
there's enough similarity.
A lot of final K's are allophs.
There's some consistent spelling differences, and the plurals for IN instead of IM for the, you know, there's some things like that, but maybe we'll just take a look at that in the in on in here together, so you've got the English there, and so we just can kind of notice some of the differences and so forth. But, of course, the script is the same. In fact, the script that we're reading in our Hebrew text is Aramaic script. So, you know, the old Hebrew script was quite a bit different. All right. Around verse 34, I think, is where we're at. 33, 34, somewhere in there. Does anybody have a more precise We did 33, okay. I think we're at 34 then.
Did French read 34?
I read it. Translated.
Oh yeah, that's right. Did you translate it though? Oh yeah, we got through it. That was really, if we can keep up that rate, we can get some more stuff done here. 35, Eric, yeah, why don't you go ahead with that?
The first of Israel made according to the word of Moses. And Egyptians asked.
Okay, no, that's referring to the sons of Israel asked the Egyptians. Asked from the Egyptians, because you got the men. So they asked from the Egyptians.
Asked from the Egyptians. Vessels of silver, vessels of gold.
Right. The clothing, I guess, is what they give for that. No. Yeah.
Raiment,
clothing, that type of thing. We might have had that word before. Okay. So the sons of Israel did, according to Moses' word, probably want to say that, and they asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, or vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and clothing. Good. Notice that it says they asked of it. The King James translates it, they borrowed. That's not what the Hebrew says, you know. It wasn't a matter of borrowing it to return it again. You know, they borrowed it permanently. I don't know. Maybe the old English had a different connotation with borrowed too. Maybe it was just trying to say it politely or something, but the Hebrew certainly doesn't imply a return of the objects later on. You want to borrow your silver and gold for a while.
They want all their silver and gold.
Right, exactly.
And interest too.
Yeah, right. Okay. Are there any other questions on this? I think we pretty well have it. 36, Doug. Gave favor, gave grace to the people. Yeah, you probably want to have to do that. Or gave the people grace, you know. Although it's a double object type of thing, so it's.
That's
what it is. Mm-hmm. You have the S and the him. We want to check this verb. This looks really interesting. What they've got translated for this, this is from Sha'al again, but they've got it translated as, and they granted their request. They granted their request.
Might be. Well, there's a here, and that's kind of funny. Maybe defective, maybe.
Yeah, either that, or it's a hifio of some sort with no yod in there, or it's, I'm just not sure. It's worth looking up. It looks like an imperfect hifio, you might guess. Which would mean they caused their asking, you know. And in other words, you could see the sense of, if it is a hifil, you could see the sense of they caused their asking to be fulfilled. In other words, they granted their request. But I think, I'm not confident of that, so I think it better be looked up. So maybe Eric can get it there. That's probably a paragogic.
I got it, but I didn't look under, with the wow, I looked under the root.
We'll find it in a while.
Let's
start with
Yod.
Yod, okay.
Yod, Shinon. The main there would be an object suffix.
Yeah.
there. Yeah, cause them to, you know, cause them to have their request fulfilled or something. If that be what, if that be a proper translation, that's what the interlinear has. But you can't always trust that. Okay, it's a hifil, is that what it said?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Hifil, third person, plural,
masculine
suffix. So the hifil must mean to grant a request then. And so granted them a request, granted them the request. That would be the idea. Okay, good. Yeah, the last verb, I don't know if you've seen that one before, means to plunder. They plundered. Yeah, plundered Egypt. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you have a where that comes from?
No, it looks like, well, you've got a Dagestan Tzadi.
Why, that's a new one, right?
Yes. Why not Salu? Why not Salu? So it's probably just a one nun PL. Be the most likely. PL of not Sal, I would guess. I know it. Never trust them.
Noon.
Oh, it's the plenty of noon.
Just drop it in there.
Yeah. Frustrated paragogic noon. Okay. All right. Any other questions there?
In
the
bouquet?
What was that?
To ask.
And the hifil would be to grant the request. And so it's not really to cause to ask, but it's to cause the request to be granted, apparently. Okay, 37, Peter.
Brought me Hagulori Levad Nepa.
Okay. Lots of new words here, new vocab.
Is this proper? And they journeyed or set out?
Yeah, Nasa, yeah. They journeyed.
The sons of Israel journeyed from Ramesses?
Yeah, Ramesses, I guess, or you know, in English, in other words, yeah, Ramesses, probably better to transliterate the Hebrew.
Towards
Succoth. Yeah, and you got that directional hay at the end, right? Mm-hmm. Towards Succoth. And
as six days, what's
oath? Meoth is 100, and then Aleph is 1,000.
Oh.
You got a big number here.
Oh, okay.
The kashesh is the six, so it's and the kuz like. So in this case, it's a giving an approximate number. So it's giving about
600,000.
Right.
Foot soldiers.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Men on foot or something. Foot soldiers, I guess, is the idea. Or you know, men on foot.
Mighty men of walking.
Mighty men of walking. Yeah. mighty men of the foot or something. Big feet. Okay. But it's the idea of a foot soldier. You know, it seems to have the implication of ones that can fight. Okay. Levad is apart or separate from?
Apart from
Matah,
children?
Toph is little ones, yeah, children. Apart from children. So not counting the children, there's 600,000 men.
So it's from the children.
Yeah. Yeah, the men is the Levad is apart, and then the men is the from, apart from the children. So Levad means apart, and then Mitoph is from the children. Okay. Any other questions there? Mostly vocabulary and then a large number there. than that idiom for men on foot. So it's literally, well, it'd be rag li, it'd be singular, so it'd be, well, no, it'd be a plural construct.
Yeah. Is it rag li? I can't read it.
Okay, rag li.
Probably
a separate. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, feet of the mighty men,
yeah. So. Yeah, we'd probably translate it 600,000 on foot.
Actually, it was only 300,000.
Yeah, each one had 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, we don't count feet, though. In military context. We've got a haploid number and a diploid number. Okay, 38. Who's next? Oh, was there a question there, Eric?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say it's Reikin
with Rag Li. Yeah, Rag Li would be my foot.
Yeah.
600 men, my foot. Now we got the translation. Right. I think it's probably... it's probably more like Hatsi, though. In other words, it may be both those things.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was a footstool.
Okay. Okay. So there's probably a noun built from it. In other words, it looks just like... it's the same form that the other one would have. But context would indicate that it's not my foot. Okay. Okay.
Flying in the Bible.
So you might just translate 600,000 men on foot, you know, mighty men on foot or something. All right. 38. Who's next? Back to John? You were last, weren't you, Peter? Okay.
Yeah.
Ugam, Erev, Rav, Allah, Itam, Witson, Ubankar, Mikne.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also,
that means a mixed. That's what they translated here. Mixed rough.
Arabs.
Yeah, that, it's probably from that same root. Mingling. Yeah.
Okay.
Mingled.
And also, many mixed.
Yeah, they call it mixed multitude. They've taken Rav as a noun and mixed as an adjective. Oh. So a mixed multitude or mixed many, you know. Oh, that's
ascended.
Yeah, ascended.
Okay.
Went up.
But it's
that's just a call.
Verb.
It's three hays, so it's got the...
Ascended.
Mm-hmm.
And they ascended, and small flock, or small animals of the herd, large mm-hmm. animals of the herd. Is that the
direction? It's livestock, that's what they give here, too. It must be another word for, you know...
Okay, and very and
herds of livestock or something. I think Bakar and Meknes probably is going together.
A very large amount of livestock.
Yeah, Kaveh is Me'od, very, very heavy, literally.
Yeah.
But in other words, it's a lot, a big mass of it.
Isn't that a name of a place too, Meknes?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Bakar is not.
I think what they're doing here, the way they translated it in the margin here is we've got Witson, Bakar, you know, flocks and herds, and then maybe a comma there, very many livestock. Maybe Meknes is kind of a general term for all kinds of livestock, you know, including, you know, we're not making a distinction between the small cattle and the large cattle, just cattle in general, I mean livestock. And so I think that's what they're doing, is putting that in apposition to the other. So it's flocks and herds. Very a whole lot of livestock, you know, lots of.
They wouldn't really have much of anything else.
No. Did somebody find McNair just to see what the sense of?
Quote noon hay.
Okay.
That's the person.
property?
Property, yeah.
Property.
Maybe property. It was talking about, I don't know, silver and gold, but maybe it could be referring mm-hmm. to just possessions in general.
Yeah, that's possible. They give livestock here in on Inier, but yes. Yes. With them. With them. I don't remember what he said there. Do you remember, John? Oh, okay. It's this. Yeah, it's tricky because Otham would be. I mean, you might have been thinking as you know as the object marker there, but Itim would be with them. A multitude went up with them, and flocks and herds and livestock, very many.
Why do we have Allah then?
It's referring to multitude. The multitude went up. See, the subject is multitude, and it's a singular noun, even though it's a collective.
Okay. I got Tana.
Okay, what's that?
To buy or purchase is a verb, but here it's possession, wealth,
okay.
Acquisition, purchase, riches, wealth, chiefly consisting in cattle.
Okay. So the idea is wealth, the root idea of the verb, but to them wealth was cattle, so
yeah.
That's why they got that connotation. So it might be more direct, I mean a more accurate translation to say very much property, you know, and then of course because you've already said it was cattle, you already know that. Okay.
We got what from?
Mixed? Oh, yeah. Well, I think John was mentioning the possibility that this is the word from which Arab is derived, and I'm pretty sure that's correct. Because
somewhere else that Arab
means mixed or mingled, at least if you derive from one root. It seems like there was a couple of roots that were possible. And so this apparently is just from the idea of a verb to mix. And this is an adjective here. Yeah, meaning mixed. Mixed, and then rob is multitude. You know, from the adjective meaning many. It's made a substantive. So, and a mixed multitude went up. Rob would be the multitude, and then irav would be the adjective modifying the multitude. What kind of multitude?
You have to wonder about this. Seems to parallel very closely to what happened to Abraham. He was mm-hmm. called out, but mm-hmm. often came with mixed multitudes.
Yeah. Later on, you find the mixed multitude is nothing but trouble.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a good thing.
Does this affect the word where it's the idea? I don't see where many of them are.
Oh, that's only from the fact that, see, rob is an adjective. And it means, you know, many or much and so forth. And then to use it here in this way, they're substantivizing the adjective. So it's a mixed many, you know. A mixed multitude is just, you know, many people. So it's got a technical connotation. But it's built from a couple of adjectives here. Okay. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's another possibility.
No, I think it's just the goal to goal.
Mm-hmm. Just vowel point difference. I can't remember what the other. I remember now, you know, vaguely looking up the word Arab, you know, and trying to see what it was derived from. Most of them derive it from this idea of mixed, mingled. But there was another one too. It seemed like it had something to do with wildness or.
Three roots.
Yeah, I think there was at least three of them. Yeah. And all of them seem to fit one way or another. And then there's other descriptions, of course, of Esau and Ishmael and so forth, too, that may fit in. Okay. Verse 39. Tony, you want to try that? Or? Okay. Price, verse 39.
Why is Yohu, Eth, Abadzeik, Asher, Hakosiu, Wabakar, Nikulu, Here we go.
Oh.
Nim, Nitzrayim,
glucose, maltose, key, ro, kamate, key, go, shu, mitraim, hello, yakalu, lakita, ma, meha.
Yeah, lehith, ma, meh, ma, meach. I guess it's just a hey. I've got to look at it in the better print.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And that first one looks like a hey.
Yeah. Like
hey. Oh, boy.
No.
It should be a hey, because that should be hifil. So, snaith, in my snaith, it's a hey, but I think that's a mistake, because over here in the Inonenir, it's got a hey, and it's a hithphile form.
Yeah,
it's got to be a hithphile form.
Yeah.
Okay, so that should be a hey. And what does your Biblia Hebraica have it clearly a hey? Okay. So there's a place where Snaith got either the ink ran there, you know, if you get a little runny ink, you know, it'll seal that gap. Okay. So it should be his ma mea. His ma mea.
Wagan Seda Lo Aso Asu.
Yeah.
It's really strange. I think this is the word for nose.
Nope, it means to bake. Afa. Remember, it's one of those. Remember, we had five verbs. What was that little saying to remember? I refuse to eat what she bakes, lest I die, or something like that, or lest I perish, something like that. There's five verbs there. You know, eating, baking, you know, perish, and so forth. But they were one gutter, one aleph. And three hay, and they had lots of complications. So this is to bake, and they baked.
So they baked the.
They say dough here, so they baked the dough.
They baked the dough that they found.
Now this is hifil from yotze or yatsa to bring. So it's to go out. I mean, the call is to go out. So they brought out. Which they brought out.
From Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And this is kind of idiomatic, too. We haven't had this word. It means cakes. They say into cakes.
Cake.
Looks like a plural, defective plural form.
Into cakes. Cakes of, I don't know,
what,
bread?
Unleavened bread, yeah.
Bread?
Unleavened bread.
Unleavened bread.
Matzah again.
That's right. That John's
very always comes down. Right. That not. I can't be able to come in. Okay, that means leavened. It's a participle. Well, let's see. Probably is, yeah. For it was not leavened.
For it was
but
not.
But they were translating it.
Leavened.
For not leavened.
Because
we had garash, I think, huh?
Oh, that's
there was garash, and this thing, I think this is PL. Well, maybe not. Gorash, gorshu. We might want to check it, but it means they were not driven. It looks like a passive form. It might be a nifal, but it sure doesn't look like a nifal. So it might be just a passive call, passive or something. But because they were driven out. So the point is that the bread was not leavened because they were driven out.
Because they were driven out from Egypt.
Uh huh.
And they did not.
Yakalu is to be able, and it usually has an infinitive following it. This means to delay, hithpael verb form, hithpael infinitive.
They were not able to delay, and also
you got a real tough one. Say that they give here as and also food for a journey. So say that apparently they're translating as food for a journey. Provisions for a journey, some that type of thing.
And food for the journey and not. not.
Could say made or prepared or something from us, huh?
Made for them.
Yeah, for them. So food for a journey they had not made for themselves is the idea. They didn't pack a lunch, in other words. So what they're saying is that they part of the reason for the unleavened bread was because they didn't have time. They were driven out from Egypt and they were not able to delay, and because they hadn't made food for themselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Was the Lord saying that he was going to move faster than we can keep
Yeah.
So there isn't any type of leavening to get in.
Yeah, exactly. That is. There could be a lot of typology built from that. A lot of spiritual truth. That hip-pile verb form is interesting, too, for delay. You might have something, the idea of going back and forth and, you know, horsing around before you know.
Is that me-ha or me-ah?
Good question. Me-ah, it's a pasuk fricative there. So it'd be me-ah. Me-ah with a kind of a smooth, a breathing sound at the end, but not like, it's just like a pasuk fricative on a faith, where we've seen.
We don't see it very often.
Nope, not very often on a hay. Okay.
That gorshu was a pu'al.
It's a pu'al, okay. So, but it's still got the passive, all right. Yeah, it's a passive of the PL. See, the problem is the resh in the PL, since right. The resh is the second letter, it doesn't take dagesh.
Yeah.
So you had a compensatory lengthening, and that's what's made it look different. Instead of the kibbutz that you would have had on a pu'al, you have a colon. So that's why I didn't recognize it. It is passive, though, and so. Because I thought it looked like, you know, driven, you've usually got that idea of a intensive. And so this is intensive, passive, pu'al. Good, thanks for looking that up. Any other questions? Somebody might want to look up that hip file form there too. Look it up without the lamas on it or something. And it's probably in a hip file infinitive construct or absolute. Might even be, well, probably an infinitive construct. And the root would probably be either maham or something. It's probably have to be maham. Puzzled by that final hay there. Mm-hmm.
Might be
paragogic hay. Okay, that's what it is. Not a pill, or, you know, it's one of those oddball derivations is what it is. They almost have, they invent a new word for each one of these.
Yeah.
So this should probably be his pal or something like that. To go by the other analogy.
What's the root?
What's it from?
Maha.
Maha? Okay.
Maha.
You're right.
Exactly.
So you got a reduplication there.
Yeah.
It's a real strange one. That's real strange. They just apparently like, you can tell they almost have fun saying hispael words. You know, they there's kind of a rhythm and a rhyme to the word. And just get kind of a ringing sound, you know. Maybe it's a for symbols or something. If the word is fill cell or something.
Did they say wait?
Delay, tarry, or wait? Okay.
And it's
is it only used in Hispael?
Yeah,
Hispael.
The Maha has a Mapik. The
Mapik
has a Mapik.
Mapik, yeah. Yeah, right. Mapik makes it morphologically significant. His files and their derivatives are, I think, the most fun words in Hebrew, by the way. Okay, well, we need to move on. Verse 40, and Eric, I guess you're next.
Oh. Zion, Shoshim, Shana, Arba, Mabo, Shana.
Well, what they're giving here is the living time. It's probably from Yashav in a participle. So the time of sojourn or time of dwelling, you know, dwelling time. Right. No, 30 years. Shana. So we've got 30 years and
400 years.
Right, 30 years and 400 years. Okay. Good.
Is that the path we saw before? Did a larger number come first?
I think we've seen it both ways. It seemed like the smaller number was normally first. But you don't often see the years repeated like that. 30 years and 400 years. You could usually see 30 and 400 years.
Like perhaps there was a 30-year period and a 400-year period.
Mm-hmm. That's a possibility. Because if you go into the analogy of the 70 weeks of Daniel and things can break, 62 weeks and 7 weeks and so forth. There seems to be some more significance than just groupings of numbers for convenience sake. Okay. 41. Doug. Yeah, from the end of. From the end of.
Oh, okay.
So.
It was from the end of.
Mm-hmm.
30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And. 100 years.
Right.
And it was.
This word means on the very day. Ayom. That's what they get. Yeah, it's kind of like autos. Yeah. On the very day. On this very day, yeah. Yeah, Be'etzem apparently is their term. They're translating on the very. So the very day. On this very day. So Hayom and then Hazeh. So Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is this very day. Okay. So the point is, it was from the end of 430 years. It was on this very day. So the idea, the picture is that 430 years of time have transpired, and it's to the very day.
And
then we read what happened. That's from. Yeah, it's us to go out. Yeah.
So they went out.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, all the armies of Yahweh, the hosts of Yahweh. The hosts of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. To set a time period, and says that it was from the end of 430 years, and it was on this very day that all the armies of Egypt, all the armies of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. Or all the hosts of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it. Yes, it is. He's called the Lord of Hosts and so forth, yeah. The same word. And here it's clearly referring to his people that were in Egypt. So, lots to think about there. Okay, 42. Who's up next? Peter. Lael is apparently a word for night, also a shortened form or something from Lila. Because they say a night of, it's in a construct. This may just be the construct form for it.
Oh, Shimurim.
Yeah, this is celebration. So a night of celebrations. It looks like a plural form, so it may be one of those many words that are plural having. Possibly. Keepings, you know, something to keep, you know, to keep a feast or something. A night of keepings. That could be. It could very well be.
So, what did you first say? Observation?
Celebration is what they give in here. I'm just giving what the your has.
Okay.
So, a night of celebration.
It
is.
Was
yeah, right. To Yahweh.
Is or was? I can't remember the context.
Could be either one. It almost has the idea of us, you know, that it's going to continue. You know, I would say it is a night of celebration because it's going to be a perennial thing.
To Yahweh, put the Okay, he brought them out of the land of
right.
Egypt.
Right.
He brought them out of
the land of Egypt? Yeah, for bringing them out of the land of Egypt, maybe. It's showing the cause or the reason. So it's a night of celebration to Yahweh for bringing them out of the land of Egypt.
Okay, this night is to Yahweh.
Right, so... Yeah, we might say, yeah, this night is a celebration to Yahweh. You got Shemurim after that too.
Okay.
So this night is a celebration to Yahweh, perhaps. You bet.
Okay.
This night it is a celebration to Yahweh, perhaps even more literally.
Okay.
Okay, well, Doroth is generations, and then Dorotham is their generations,
okay.
For all their generations, for their generations. So this is a night, this night is a celebration to Yahweh for all the sons of Israel, for all their generations, for their generations.
This Hu Halayla Hazeh Yahweh. The Halayla Hazeh,
that's this night.
And
so this night, and then who it is.
Yahweh, then.
Right.
It is
the
Yahweh.
Right. Yeah, that would be an apposition to who. So you could even say, it, this night, is a celebration to Yahweh. Or you could say, this night, it is a celebration to Yahweh, something like that. So probably best in the order they have is who, this night, it, this night, is to Yahweh a celebration for all generations. Okay. Oh yeah, that is this night. That is this night. You got the this and that in the same one in the same sentence.
Yeah. Celebration
to Yahweh.
Well,
you could say this night is to Yahweh for a celebration, perhaps, but that'd be a little bit. You know, I'll have to put a four there or something. There's not enough information to really tell whether it's this night is to Yahweh or whether this celebration is to Yahweh, but they're both, they're being equated. When you have an equative structure like that, you always run into this problem.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Because the only reason the night would be to Yahweh is because it's being celebrated. You know? So it really doesn't make a lot of difference. When you have an equative verb, it's hard to tell which way to... It's the issue of what's the predicate nominative and what's the subject. Okay. Huh? We could stop here because it is a different tenor here rather than, And there are still quite a few verses left, so. Let's go to Psalms then. Who wants to offer the first psalm of interest here that you'd like us to read?
Psalm 1.
Psalm 1 would be good. That's good.
Like 119.
Well, let's try Psalm 1. Maybe we can get part of Psalm 1 in the same way. That's one you're... Yeah, very edifying. We don't want to read it. We don't want to read one about being chased by Saul. We want to read by...
Number 2 starts trying to the warfare.
Yeah. 2 and 3, yeah.
Find what people think about the psalm,
what
the psalm actually talk about, all the fights.
Yeah. And the first one,
what happened,
and what happened to the psalm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, who's first for the first verse? Who's next?
I'll the last.
Yeah, okay. So, John, you can start with Psalm 1, verse 1.
Ashrei Haisha Asher Lo Halak Ba'atza Rishayim Uder Atayim Lo Amad U Bamor Shav Leitim Lo Yashav.
Okay.
Blessed.
Yeah.
But what's the root on that one?
I'm not sure. Ashar. Better check it.
Okay, blessed the man which is not walking in Asa.
Means counsel, wisdom of counsel, in the
not
counsel.
In the counsel. Of the wicked ones.
Right, of the wicked ones, yeah, the evil ones.
And
it is a construct, but it's hard to tell because the segulets are the same either way. Just from what follows, you'll know that. Yeah, or the way of sinners. This is, I guess this now means sinners. Yeah,
Chataim. In the way of sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he is not standing.
Or it has not stood. It's just a perfect form there. So, in the way of sinners has not stood. It's not stood in the way of sinners.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the ungodly and wicked. And in the way of sinners has not stood. Right.
And
word order is a little different because normally the verb is first, but I've changed it.
And dwelling.
Seat is moshav is a seat, but you know, a place where you sit down, a place where you dwell. Yeah.
Have been said. Okay, sitting. Mm-hmm. Okay, not set in the sitting place.
Yeah, and this, they give scorners for this.
Scorners.
See the scorners. Not as sad, has not sat. Question, Price?
On that Ashar,
mm-hmm.
It literally means to walk straight or to lead it right, and it can mean in a construct like this, it's happiness.
Okay. That's what they're giving it, blessed happiness.
To pronounce happy, to call blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Could you also say to you,
they'd seem with scorners. Mm-hmm.
If you translate some of these perfect words in the present tense and a land and say it in certain...
You can. When we're dealing with poetry now, so we're kind of looking at it a conceptual thing. And so, but I think that in this case, what he's trying to say is he's blessed now because he has not fast walked. In other words, we're talking about a man's state based on what he has done in his life. So that past tense sense, almost a perfect sense, would probably be best, because you've got present result from a previous mode of life and conduct. So he's saying, blessed is man who has not walked in the counsel and so forth. But you can still see the sense. It would be a maxim anyway. Blessed is man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly and so forth. And Hebrew doesn't have a real good way of saying something like that unless you use a participle or something. Is not walking. But it's not a participle, so it seems to have more of a perfect concept. You know that it's a maxim and so forth, but it's put recorded in a perfect fashion here. So okay, and the ultimate result is going to be the same. All right, verse 2. You want to try it? You're going to pass. Okay, Bryce, I guess you're up then.
He in the Torah, Yahweh, Pato, Wabato, Rako, Yahya, Yo, Yomar, Wabaiba.
Well, key him, you might say except, or but only in. In this case, you could go ahead with but only.
But rather.
But rather, that might be good.
Rather.
Mm-hmm. It's a contrast to what before. Or like this is the exception, you accept. You could say accept as a little
in
more.
The law of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be delight.
Yeah, it's his delight. Yeah, his delight. So in the law of Yahweh is his delight.
And in his
think of the noun is Torah.
In his law. He meditates day and night.
Right, he meditates day and night. Okay, and here's an imperfect. See, we had that perfect in the previous. Now we've gone to an imperfect. And we're not dealing with sequences and series here. See, because it's not a narrative so much. We're not seeing, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to get into some of these Psalms, because we're going to see some things different than this historical narrative we've been looking at all along.
What is this? Yes, so you translated perfect.
Yeah, and you probably want to translate it either will, he will meditate, or translate he meditates as habitual. Because it's not a part of a series, it's not converted. And it's definitely got its imperfect sense. So you've got a perfect in verse 1 who has not done all these things. But in the law of Yahweh is his delight. So you've got a equative verb structure there with no verb. And then in his law he meditates. Or he will meditate day and night.
Is that a
on the word meditate?
Yeah.
Good question. It's a begad kafat.
Yeah.
And you do technically have a closed syllable here. So it could just be Eleni, and then it may not be a Hifil, I mean a Piel or anything. Now you might double check it, because if it happens to be, see, the trouble is it could conceivably be one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
through this haga,
mm-hmm.
to murmur or to utter speak or to meditate.
Okay, so this is probably just a call then, and we got kifat type of dagesh Eleni. Okay, well, that's where we'll stop, and we'll continue next time with Psalms. It's interesting because you can already sense it's a different type of expression. So far, it's no more difficult, but we may get some more problems later. Did we have Haggah?
Yeah.
Oh,
in Isaiah, there's a place where
the wizards that peep and mutter?
One of those, I think.